You're listening to an archived broadcast of The Nature of Things, originally recorded February 3rd, 1984. This edition discusses the differences of lake effect storms.
Hi, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Nature of Things, a program about the world we live in, presented by FM 90 and the Rice Creek Field Station, a unit of the State University College at Oswego. My guest this morning is Dr. Alfred Stamm, Associate Professor of Meteorology here at the College at Oswego. Al, thank you for agreeing to share a few moments with the listeners of The Nature of Things.
Glad to do it.
You know, we've heard a lot of talk the last couple of weeks about the weather. I guess we always do in the winter. But a term that keeps coming up time and again is lake effect storms. Why are these storms called lake effect storms?
Storms are called lake effect storms because they're caused by the lake and generally only occur very near the lake, and in this case, only the Great Lakes.
I see. Well, how does a lake effect storm differ from regular storms or other storms?
Well, a regular storm is generally centered around a low pressure system with the winds moving in a counterclockwise fashion around that low pressure system. And this low pressure system then moves across the country, say creating rain or snow depending upon what the temperature is. And it will snow or rain over a rather large area. A lake effect storm, on the other hand, only occurs near the lake and usually occurs after the regular snowstorm is already passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you describe how it works?
Well, the lake effect storm depends upon the direction of the winds. Ordinarily, there's not much moisture in the air in the wintertime. The air is cold and it doesn't hold much moisture. And so the air that we receive from Canada is very dry. If it is dry, you can't get much snow out of it. However, if this air passes over a lake without ice on it, as Lake Ontario is all year long, that means it can pick up moisture. When it picks up moisture, then there's moisture in it that can turn to snow and fall out as snow. There's several other factors that are important as well. One is that as it passes over the lake, the very cold air coming from Canada will heat up quite a bit at the surface, simply because the temperature of the water is right about the temperature of freezing, whereas the air coming from Canada may be well below freezing. Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, warm air rises, and it is the air rising that can make it turn into snow. Also, in the case of the Tug Hill region, as it has to rise up over the Tug Hill Plateau, that means further rising, and therefore more snow can come out of the air.
Okay, let me see if I got this straight then. As it goes over the lake, the air is warmed, it takes up moisture, and then as it gets out over the land again, especially if it has to rise, it's cooled and it drops the moisture.
That's right.
And it really is a local storm in a sense then, isn't it? It gets its moisture locally and it drops it quite locally.
Not only it is a local storm, it's usually very close to the surface of the earth. For example, ordinarily you cannot pick it up on radars at either Binghamton or Buffalo.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, are these regular? What kind of frequency can we look for with them?
Well, some years, at certain periods of the year, you can have a lake effect storm every 4 or 5 days. Generally, you would have a regular snowstorm followed by a lake effect storm. But other times, you may not have either for long periods of time. It has a lot to do with the jet stream, which is a separation between the cold air coming from Canada and the warm air coming from the southern states. Now, if the jet stream is moving straight across the United States, quite often we don't have very many storms. On the other hand, if the jet stream is dipping well into the central part of the U.S., those are the times when it gets very cold in Texas, then quite often we can have a storm every few days that is an ordinary snowstorm. And in between each snowstorm, we can have a lake effect storm. Now, the important thing to remember about a lake effect storm is the wind has to come across the lake. So for Oswego, that means the wind is between coming from the west and the northwest. For Syracuse, it would have to be closer to northwest. For Watertown, it would be closer to southwest. Now, whenever the wind comes from across the lake, we can get a lake effect snow. And if the wind is very strong, quite often the snow will be blown further inland.
Okay, so what you're saying is that these are very local storms that are really things that we share only with other people who live along the Great Lakes. Any other part of the world where they occur?
About the only other place that I've heard of is in Japan. You may remember the Olympics that were held in Sapporo. That's a lake effect area. The air comes out of Siberia and blows across the Sea of Japan where it picks up moisture.
Any other differences between lake effect storm and non-lake effect storms?
One of the chief differences is the amount of water that is in the snow. You may have heard of the rule of thumb that about 10 inches of snow equals 1 inch of water. That's not true for lake effect snow. It's more like 30 inches of snow is 1 inch of water. So the snow, it's quite easy to compact, and even though we may have 10 feet of snow here in Oswego, we never have 10 feet of snow on the ground except maybe in a drift.
Well, that's an interesting point. Well, this has all been very interesting and I think enlightening to people. They know more certainly than they've known in the past about a lake effect storm, and when they hear it, it'll mean something more to them. Al, I'd like to thank you again for sharing this time with us. This is John Weeks saying that's all for this week. Tune in next week and keep it natural.